Are we getting ready for the birth of Jesus or for the end of the world? Our scripture readings today make you wonder about that, don't they? On this first Sunday of the season of Advent, these 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, we step into the very near end of the Gospel of Mark. Now, I think it's helpful to remember that Mark's gospel doesn't tell the story of the birth of Jesus. That's left to Matthew and Luke. Mark's gospel, notably, begins in the wilderness with John the Baptist preaching about repentance and about the one who is to come. But that's Dean Moe's sermon next week. Come back. Mark was written in the late first century, just 40 years after the death of Jesus. So there were people alive who still remembered Jesus walking on the earth. Mark is less focused on a humble birth with a baby in a manger and more on the recreation and restoration of the world when the full-grown Messiah returns after his death and resurrection. Those who were the very first to hear Mark's gospel had just endured the terrible destruction of the temple in Jerusalem by the Romans. For the Jewish people, this was a catastrophic break with the past. A chaotic rupture of the religious, political, economic, and cultural life in Jerusalem and all of that surrounding area. It left people asking questions about their faith, their life, their loyalties, and their loves. Not so unlike the questions people today are asking across the world after these last years of so much death, disruption, and destruction. So many of our own temples have fallen in the last few years. Maybe temples in your own life. And it's always hard and heartbreaking when they fall. And as we pick our way through the rubble, we wonder how we will gather ourselves to move forward. And into that wondering, into that heartbreak, into a world that at times seems hopeless, the Jesus of Mark's gospel offers a promise of hope. One of the questions Mark's gospel is asking is, if the temple was where God was, where is God now that the temple is gone? For Mark, the answer is clear. Not in the temple, but on the cross. Jesus is not in the center of power and authority, but in the wilderness. Jesus is not in the arrogance of wealth and prosperity, but in the leanness of the oppressed and the powerless. Mark isn't looking back with wonder at the child in the manger with the angels singing above, but forward, looking forward toward the return of a full-grown Messiah, the one who will tear open the heavens and come down to save us and restore the world. And when will that happen? When will Jesus return? Are we there yet? That's the $100 billion question in Mark. In the gospel reading, Jesus is speaking to the disciples, and he offers a list of signs of the return, and he focuses on an ingathering of people from all the four winds and a fig tree with leaves, a sign of new life. And then, in the very next breath, he He says, but no one really knows when the return will happen. Not you, not the angels, not even me. Not even Jesus knows when he will return, and it's clear that we don't need to spend time trying to guess about all that. Instead, he urges the disciples to remain watchful. Keep awake, he says, for you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn. So keep awake. So that got me to wondering. Is there a difference between watching for the birth of Jesus and watching for the return of the risen Christ to heal the world? We're pretty familiar with the first one, right? It involves joyful traditions and stories and hymns and songs and Christmas carols that most of us are familiar with. Decorating the tree, lighting the Advent wreath, singing carols, reading the Christmas story, baking cookies, buying gifts, attending midnight mass on Christmas Eve. Y'all come. Watching for the return of Jesus seems a little different to me. I don't have that date on my calendar, for one thing. And I don't have any idea how to decorate for the return of the Messiah. And while every single service of Holy Eucharist presents us with hope for the world and for our own lives, Jesus still is calling us to keep watch, to keep awake. And yet, staying awake forever is an impossible task. No one can go without sleep for days, weeks, years. So I wonder, what if the call to keep watch is less about seeing and knowing everything and more about participation with the divine mystery in the restoration of the world? Throughout the Gospel of Mark, Jesus calls us to direct our gaze to the deepest needs of the world, to the anguish of poverty and hunger in our own streets, to the horrors of war and imprisonment, to the griefs and injustices born of prejudice and abuse of power. Keeping watch in that way is a kind of bearing witness. And to bear witness, we have to get close. Brian Stevenson, the author of Just Mercy and the founder of the Equal Justice Initiative, says, we need to get proximal. We need to get proximal. Bearing witness and participating in the restoration of the world means we need to get proximal to the poor and the hungry, to those who suffer without homes or health care, to those who've lost their lives and their livelihoods to prejudice and war. This isn't kind of distant observation from the balcony, but a bodily and bold engagement that leaves tears on our face and dirt on our hands, and hearts permanently shaped by another's suffering and by the company of Jesus. Remember, Mark's gospel begins where? In the wilderness. John the Baptist is in the wilderness, and so is Jesus. And when we move into the wilderness to get close to those in need, we get close to Jesus. And that's when we really can see and hear and know the promise of the resurrected Messiah, that suffering and death will never, ever, ever have the last word. In today's gospel reading, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He's also speaking to me and to you and to a whole church whose desire for justice, sense of identity, and very future seems to be fragile, even unfinished, and maybe even slipping away. We are no longer the church we were 75 years ago, 50 years ago, even 5 years ago. And Jesus calls us to step forward, to make our way through the fragments and ruins of a crumbling temple, to trust in the promise of healing and liberation. Stay awake and watch and work together for the new thing that God is doing. I'm pretty sure this will not be easy. We will likely continue to witness and experience very painful things while we wait for good news and new life. We will likely cry more tears of grief while we wait for joy to come in the morning. Like the disciples, we will fall asleep occasionally, even as we try to stay awake and bear witness. We may not know what is coming next or what the timing will be, but we do know who is coming. And so we wait and watch, bearing witness especially to the pain of the world. A friend of mine who lives in the mountains of California sent me a photograph of the plum tree in her front yard just 2 days ago. It has green leaves and blossoms, even though December snow threatens to fall there. So perhaps it will not be so long after all before the angels are sent and we are gathered together from all the four winds to the one who reigns in glory. In the meantime, watch and bear witness together. Get proximal and continue to do the very hard work of loving your neighbor and casting love into the world again and again and again.